brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I just was deciding right here in the middle of Advent, let's go back, even at the expense of saying, oh, I know that. Let's go back to the definition that Sister Ruth Burroughs gave for faith. I've mentioned it before, and I really would want to encourage you to take a look. It is in my book entitled More of the Holy Spirit. More of the Holy Spirit. I would encourage you to read that book if you have not. You can simply go online to renewalministries.net. Renewalministries.net. And then my book is entitled More of the Holy Spirit. What I'm reading here is available in that particular book, More of the Holy Spirit. I really encourage you to read it. I'd like your reflections on it after you do. She writes, faith is an orientation of our existence as a whole. It is a fundamental option that affects every domain. That is, every part of our lives is affected. It affects our existence. Nor can it be realized unless all the energies of our existence go into maintaining it. Faith is not merely intellectual or merely volitional or merely emotional activity. In other words, volitional, it's not just a matter of the will. It's not just a matter of the intellect or merely an emotional activity. It is all of these things together, she writes. It is an act of the whole self, of the whole person. Faith is a perishing of the mere self, and precisely thus a resurrection of the true self. To believe is to become oneself through liberation from the mere self. That's the selfish, narrow, confined things of our personal existence. To believe is to become oneself through liberation from the mere self, a liberation that brings us into communion with God, mediated by communion with Christ. We come to a knowledge of the Trinity when we're willing to live by faith and not by sight. When we put our trust in Him and put Him at the center of our lives, not ourselves. Not ourselves. It's hard. We're naturally very selfish. Humanly, we're very self-centered. But God can change that if we give Him permission. Sister Ruth Burroughs writes this, deep within every human heart, unless it has been profoundly purified, there lurks a sly, unrecognized cunning, all too well skilled in self-deception and evasion. We're always trying to protect ourselves and defend ourselves by whatever means. Self is at the center of our lives, not God. And faith is putting God in the center of our lives and displacing ourselves. Put ourselves at least in second place. Because what happens then, it's the paradox. When we give up ourselves, we actually find ourselves and we actually see ourselves in light of God in ways that we never have before. But if we try to cling to our idea of self, we grow blind and we grow deaf to the voice in the presence of God. Those are my words. Sister Ruth Burroughs says, to do this is the total adversary of belief, that is, to live simply within self. It is the cunning of pride, of self-possession, of self-sufficiency. To live fully out of our inheritance, to live solely by the faith of the Son of God, to live the life of Jesus, all this may sound beautiful, and beautiful it indeed is beyond our wildest dreams. But in practice, it strikes a deadly blow to human pride because we have to put ourselves in at least second place. This is why so many face to face in reality with the self dispossession. In other words, you're attached to yourself. You might like yourself. You possess yourself. And she says, that is why so many face-to-face in reality with the self-dispossession, letting go of yourself as the center of your existence, that life in Jesus calls for, walk no more with him. Not in the sense of complete desertion and denial of belief, but rather because they have said no to his cross, however many other crosses they may be carrying supposedly in his name. Her book is The Essence of Prayer. The author is Sister Ruth Burroughs, and she nails it. Faith means not just to be able to recite the creed. Faith doesn't mean to know what page it's on in the catechism. Faith is not to know the scripture passages that speak of faith, though they are really important to read when you're trying to let go of yourself as the center of your life and put God into the center of your life. Read the Word of God on faith over and over and over again. The passages, just go online and write in the virtue of faith where found in the scriptures. Now, it'll give you a whole list. Ponder those. What you want is God in the center of your life, and you want yourself in at least second place. Maybe it's God and others, and then me. Me in third place. That's a whole revolutionary way of living. And yet it is what faith calls us to. Not just to assent to the words, but to assent to what those words convey in terms of truth. And what they're asking of us, don't you think God would give us the power to do that if we ask him for it? But he never violates our free will. How often do I say that to you? So you have to trust him that he will provide by deciding to put him in the first place in your life. You'll fall, you'll stumble, you'll skin your knee, you might even break your nose. But you'll come into what you really were created to be, a son or a daughter of God. You begin to live your inheritance. And yes, it costs. But the inheritance is for all eternity. Always keep the view in mind. Always keep the long view in mind. Sister Ruth says, this is why so many face-to-face in reality with the self-dispossession that life in Jesus calls for, the self-dispossession that life in Jesus calls for, walk no more with him, not in the sense of complete desertion and denial of belief, but rather because they have said no to his cross, however many other crosses they may be carrying supposedly in his name. Oh, I'm good. I'm doing this. I'm carrying this. I'm handling this. Is it what God asked of you? Or is it something you took on? When we put God in first place in our lives, we need to say, Lord, is this your will? Is this what you want of me here? Or do you have something else in mind? Ask him. Ask him to show you. He'll do it through other people. He'll do it through something you pick up and read. He'll show you in a wide variety of ways what his will is, but you need to tell him you want to know what his will is. That's the heart of faith. And this is what God has for you. All right, let's take the few minutes remaining and look today at the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 1 to 2 and 9 to 13. Thus says the Lord, woe to the city, rebellious and polluted, to the tyrannical city. She hears no voice, accepts no correction. In the Lord she has not trusted, to her God she has not drawn near. Could that define you? For then I will change and purify the lips of the peoples, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia and as far as the recesses of the north, they shall bring me offerings. On that day you need not be ashamed of all your deeds, your rebellious actions against me. For then will I remove from your midst the proud braggarts, and you shall no longer exalt yourself on my holy mountain. But I will leave as a remnant in your midst a people humble and lowly. Look what God is looking for. Because then you can turn to him. Then there's no barriers. To choose him over yourself is the key piece. And you have to do it 100 times a day, every day. But after a while, you come to know his presence as you've never known it before. I will leave as a remnant in your midst a people humble and lowly who shall take refuge in the name of the Lord, the remnant of Israel. They shall do no wrong, they shall speak no lies, nor there shall there be found in their mouth a deceitful tongue. They shall pasture and couch their flocks with none to disturb them. They're loyal, they're honest, they're trustworthy. They love God. The priority of their lives is to be a son or daughter of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and to follow him wherever he goes. And then the blessings come. And the Lord hears the cry of the poor, tells the psalm tells us. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. We're poor because we acknowledge we can't do this without his grace or power. That's what he's waiting for. Lord, I want to be this way for you, but I don't have it in me. I need you. I need you in every facet of my life that I may put you at the center of my life. Pray like that. God will answer you. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' And the son said, 'Nope, I will not.' But afterward, he repented. He changed his mind, and he went. And the man came to the other son and gave the same order, and he said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" And they answered, "The first." He hesitated. He didn't want to, but he did. Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you." Ho, ho, ho! Think about that. It's the disposition of the heart. It's the intent of the heart. All of that is not always visible, brothers and sisters. We make all kinds of judgments of other people. Stop it. You don't know. You don't have the means to make a judgment on the goodness or the evil in another. You can make some judgments that we all need to make, either for security or for willingness to pay attention to a particular person. There are reasons to make some decisions, but you can't make a judgment on the eternal salvation of anybody. You can't, and don't try. That's what the Pharisees were doing. He said, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors, among the most despised because they collaborated with the enemy. I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you." Whoa! What a shock that must have been. And many of them walked away angered and wouldn't listen to him anymore. What about you? When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes did. There are people who are highly sinful, who you would exclude, who actually repented when they heard the words of John the Baptist. And you, the seeming leaders of the people, did not. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him. Brothers and sisters, God is calling us to deeper faith. May we follow him with our whole heart. God bless you. I have been speaking a great deal recently about faith. I have a booklet entitled Faith More Precious Than Gold that I would like to offer you free if you would call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net. Perhaps it would be a gift that you would like to give this Christmas. I urge you to read Faith More Precious Than Gold.